Welcome to another episode of my podcast, Sincerely Jada, a podcast hosted by yours truly, Jada Amoy. And if this is your first time listening, this podcast is dedicated to learning and unlearning. So today we have a special guest joining us. She has her own podcast as well. So I have Sarah Caitlin joining me today. We're going to be discussing all things kind of beauty standards. So we know with the rise of social media, there can be a lot of pressure, especially on women, to kind of conform and follow whatever the latest trend is. So we're going to be talking all about that. And yeah, so once again, our guest is Sarah Caitlin. She hosts the Simply Self-Love podcast. And thank you for joining me, Sarah. So maybe you can just start off by introducing yourself.
Thank you so much for having me. So I guess I'll just do a little introduction. So my name is Sarah and I go by Sarah Caitlin on social media. I'm a registered nurse and a part-time content creator. So I started my creator journey consistently about 2 years ago now, and I create content for brands that align with my values. So I launched the podcast in May of this year, and it has become my favorite platform so far. I've always had a passion for helping others, hence why I went into nursing and going through my own mental health struggles. I wanted to share my story and journey of self-love and self-care with others.
Thank you so much for the intro. What would you say is the most underrated form of self-care that you practice?
I think like the most underrated for me, I feel like also for other people as well, is emotional boundaries. So like setting emotional boundaries, basically setting boundaries for yourself so that others, people's emotions, opinions, and behaviors don't necessarily affect your own well-being. And of course, like someone you love, their emotions and behaviors you're going to care about because that's just like a part of being human. But it's about setting boundaries enough that their thoughts, ideas, and opinions don't lead you to crumple into this deep sadness and it stops you from living your own life. I still have troubles with this myself and I feel like I absorb other people's opinions. It's good to set emotional boundaries to help prevent overwhelming feelings of burnout and emotional exhaustion. And that can arise from, you know, constantly absorbing the emotions of others. So I think just setting that boundary for yourself is really important.
I really like that you note that because I think a lot of us think of self-care as, you know, going to the beach or going to the spa, but, you know, having those boundaries as well, kind of taking care of yourself, especially emotionally, is a form of self-care. So thank you for noting that.
Yeah, like a lot of times, you know, when you see stuff on like social media or, you know, you talk about like a self-care day, it's a lot of like bubble baths and like doing your skincare, which is also really important. But I think like internally looking at your emotions and setting boundaries with others is important, and it's a type of self-care and it helps your mental health as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important to emphasize because I think a lot of us have this personality of the giver. The strong friend usually doesn't really take the time to check in with themselves and spend time, you know, setting up boundaries or also just doing things for yourself as opposed to others. So those emotional boundaries are definitely something that I personally struggle to impose as well, but, you know, working on it as usual. You kind of touched on it a bit, but how would you describe your relationship with social media currently, especially that being part of your job as well? How do you decide what content to engage with to also preserve your mental health?
Yeah, so social media for me, obviously, I love it because I can express myself and it is my part-time job. I feel like I can connect with like-minded people from all over the world. And without it, I wouldn't be who I am today, which sounds kind of sad. But that's just the way society is now, and it has brought a lot of good into my life. You know, a job, a community, you know, it is really good, but it also can be toxic. Going back 4 years now, I was in a toxic headspace with social media, and I think growing up as a teenager and a young adult with all the pressures of society right there on a screen that is, you know, by your side 24/7 was and is not healthy. I talked about this on one of my episodes called Getting Out of the All or Nothing Mindset. And basically, when I was 19, so about 4 years ago, I wanted to be this big fitness influencer because a lot of people I saw on social media were doing this. And, you know, I thought I wanted to be the same as them. And I became like obsessed with the idea of being perfect. This perfect fitness person. And I actually was diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder or OCD. So part of this was part of my mental illness, but I was very obsessed with it. And when I say obsessed, it's in a like a damaging way. I did not take care of myself and I was very restrictive. And I also lost myself in the process. This was all because I thought I wanted to be someone I'm not. And I wanted to be perfect at this like identity that I envisioned for myself. And just because, you know, weight loss and muscle gain and the gym kind of culture was very big on social media when I was 19. I consumed it a lot and it kind of like took over. I mean, 4 years ago is a little while back, so it did take me a while to get out of this mindset, and it's hard for sure. It is hard not to absorb what you see. That's why I try to be positive and live a balanced lifestyle and share self-care and self-love content. So hopefully others can start to, you know, love themselves for who they are as well, because I lived it, you know, firsthand. I definitely did not love myself, and I was trying to be these, you know, fitness influencers and people online. So now if I see something negative or feel like I'm focusing too much on it, I will just either like mute the person or I will unfollow them, which is totally fine. I think also now that I post and engage with like-minded people who are positive and prioritize self-care, that's what social media shows me now, especially on Instagram. So it is nice to have my feed as that positive and uplifting space.
I think that's such an important point, especially with nowadays, there's so many influencers, which is, you know, not a negative thing per se, but it can really set the standard of what you need to strive towards. And that kind of fitness movement is, I think, something that has negatively influenced a lot of people in terms of constantly viewing yourself as like a self-improvement project, you know? Mm-hmm. If you gain like 2 pounds, you're immediately going to work it off and like you're constantly in the gym, even if that's not what you enjoy and it's not like healthy for you, you know? I think that even my personal experience with social media, there was a point I think about 2 years ago now where I deleted Instagram, like I deactivated my account instead of just deleting the app because I found myself constantly obsessing over the app because I'm not someone who usually takes pictures, but I think that naturally if you're on Instagram, like you feel kind of pressure to present in a certain way, get all done up, and that was becoming toxic. I was pretty late to the game with TikTok, so I mostly downloaded it when I started this podcast, so December 2022, and I remember in university, TikTok was like all the people were talking about and I was left out. But since I got on it, I found myself seeing more content that I didn't previously see, like you said, on Instagram or Twitter or anything like that. So one thing I've been seeing a lot is the recent kind of TikTok trend of, you know, women showing more so like their maintenance routine and also their lifestyle. So people who are living maybe a more lavish lifestyle with lots of designer things or, you know, just a very expensive lifestyle. I've found that to be kind of a really interesting trend that I didn't think was happening as much a couple years ago, especially when it comes to the different aesthetics that people are developing and the increasing pressure to look put together. So what are your thoughts on these types of messaging when it comes to social media?
So I did decide to delete the app off my phone, and honestly, I couldn't be happier. Yeah, for me, TikTok was not one of my bigger platforms to begin with. So I also downloaded it late as well. So I feel like it wasn't like that hard to stop going on it. But going back to the topic of spending, you know, tons of money and putting all this effort into like looking quote unquote put together. I mean, if you want to do that and you feel confident and, you know, good putting on makeup or whatever it is, then go for it. I just think that you should be doing it for yourself and not for anyone else's opinions and validation. I also think that on the other hand, you don't need all of that to love yourself and be confident, because I think confidence also comes within. So working on your inner self and mindset can help you feel confident and beautiful without having to spend a lot of money and time. I think beauty can also come from who you are on the inside. And for me, I mean, I don't wear makeup like ever, but when I do, I do feel good, but I also feel good without it. So I try to embrace what I have and love my body for what it does for me. And so like going for walks and like eating like yummy foods. Personally, if I'm going to spend money on, you know, caring for myself, I try to invest it into making myself feel good physically, mentally, emotionally. And for some people, physical appearance might be that. But for me, I tend to focus on eating, you know, nutritious food because I feel like it makes me feel good on the inside and also the outside. It, you know, helps me have glowing skin and things like that. That's just what I like personally. But yeah, eating nutritious foods, going to yoga classes. I know yoga, like a yoga membership can be more pricey. So I try to invest more into those type of things. I also enjoy skincare because I like to take care of my skin. Like I said before, it is a part of my body and, you know, the biggest organ. So I like to splurge more on those type of things. But I think it takes like a lot of inner work and knowing what makes you feel your best physically, mentally, and emotionally. And just trying to remember that you are doing these things and spending your hard-earned money on yourself for yourself.
When you said loving your body for what it does for you, I think that I've never really thought of that before because a lot of us kind of view our body only as like a kind of aesthetic or like, I'm not too sure how to phrase it, but we view our body in terms of how it looks and how it looks to other people. As opposed to it actually being a vessel that literally helps you do everything. So especially it relates a lot to like the fitness world, I think, because if you're viewing fitness more in terms of getting to your best self and feeling your best as opposed to just how you look and how you present to others, it can really change your mindset as well. I think that's so important because when I see those videos, I mean, me being at this point where I am now, being kind of 24 and more so finding myself, I don't find that they influence me as much as when I was younger. But I also think that's from like inner work and kind of accepting myself more than previously. But I think most of my concern comes from the fact that we're in such a digital age and there's people who are 8 now who have phones. And, you know, it's so weird to think about. But I think that there's going to be such a shift in, you know, future generations and the types of things that they value based on this messaging. You know, you can't look a certain way, these sort of aesthetics that you constantly hear about, the clean girl aesthetic, this aesthetic. I don't think people really think when they're putting out this content, the age of some of the people who might be consuming it and the message that comes across.
Yeah, actually, I do have a episode all about like you are not your Instagram aesthetic where I talk about, you know, like I feel like it is such a big thing where you try to like be this aesthetic, like cottagecore aesthetic or like old money aesthetic and all these things, but like really people are so complex and you can like more than one aesthetic and be more than one aesthetic and you aren't your Instagram aesthetic because I like to wear baggy sweatpants and hoodies, but I also like to dress up like a princess and things like that. Being this quote unquote aesthetic and like you feel kind of lost because you're like, well, I don't have an aesthetic. Like, I don't know. I'm just me.
Yeah. The next topic I was thinking about in terms of individuality, I think that, as you said, with the rise of aesthetics, it can be kind of difficult to maintain your individuality because you're constantly seeing new things that you might appreciate, you might like, and you might want to do as well, but you're not really able to feel as though it's a choice to do those things. You almost feel compelled to match a certain aesthetic or engage in certain beauty trends that might not even be accessible or mostly affordable to you. So there's such an importance around really embracing individuality and knowing that we are not all the same person. What are your thoughts about maintaining individuality in this kind of day and age where there's such a value on these aesthetics and trends?
Yeah, so like I said before, like people are so complex and you can like a number of different things. I have a number of different hobbies. I can change my mind. You can change your mind. You can change your vibe. You can change your career, have multiple career paths. Like I am a nurse, but I'm also a content creator. I think finding yourself is about embracing, you know, who you are in this moment and being okay with changing your mind, your hobbies, etc. In the social media space, I feel like there is a pressure to be consistent with one aesthetic, like I mentioned before, or one niche. And although people will follow you based on that interest, I think that building a community is about embracing all the things that make you you. I said in the episode that I mentioned before, the people who stick around for all the phases of your life are the ones who love you and admire you for who you are at your core. I maintain my sense of self by just doing what feels good. It makes me happy in the moment. There is a rule that I heard, I think, It was Caitlin Nolan on Not Your Typical Podcast, and she talked about it. And basically she said, if you're at a store and you're trying on clothing and you put on a dress, in the first 7 seconds, I think it was 7 seconds, if you're like, wow, I love this dress, then you love that dress. It doesn't matter about the background noise. At least for me, when I sit on something and think about it, then it starts to be like, I start questioning myself, like, do I even like this anymore? Like, I don't know. And that's because there are opinions being like absorbed. So I think it can be the same for like a photo on social media. If you see it and you're like, first, like, wow, I really like this. Like, you just take a selfie and you're like, I think I look really good. I want to post this. And then you post it on social media. And then 10 minutes later, you're like, I don't know, because it has no likes. And that's just because you're absorbing like subconsciously like the opinions and ideas and things of others. I just try to keep the 7 second rule. And if I like it within this first 7 seconds, then I know I like it. And then I try not to let other people's opinions and ideas kind of like change my mind on that.
I remember closer to like university years being more so susceptible to people's opinions, like high school, all those years. And it's like most people, before they even post a picture, they send it in their group chats and they're like, oh, do you like this? Mm-hmm. And if one person doesn't like it, they don't post it. And I think that that's such an interesting thing. Like, if you like it and, you know, you sit on it for at least 7 seconds and it still seems good, then why would somebody else's opinion matter that much? And I've been doing more so episodes recently on like that childhood experience and, you know, how a lot of us kind of lose that childhood innocence as we grow into adulthood. But like, you see children sometimes when their parents allow them to dress themselves, they put on all these kind of crazy colors and all these interesting outfits that, you know, you probably as a parent wouldn't assign for them or choose for them. But it just kind of shows that they don't really care too much about those types of things. They don't put too much emphasis on it. They're just more so doing what they like, choosing their favorite things. And if only we could kind of preserve it throughout life so that we just kind of do what feels good, what looks good to us, as opposed to constantly asking and consulting other people.
Exactly. I like that you brought up that point on like the childhood, because I feel like I'm also trying to embrace like my inner child. And even this summer, like I've just done a lot of reflection and like slowing down and being okay with being bored, because I feel like everything around us is like stimulating. So I'm trying to just be like when I was a kid and like be happy and like excited about the small things, going outside and things like that, and being okay with not being busy all the time. So I really like that you brought up like the inner child, because I also think, yeah, like when you were young, you would dress the way you want. You would, you know, you had your own mind and it wasn't influenced as much by other people. Now that we're older, there's so many things that we've gone through and different types of people we've been friends with. And I think like it's harder now, especially with social media, to kind of have your own mind, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I really like how you mentioned that whole influence, and you made a good point. I think that especially something that I found difficult is that when you're in a certain friend group, a lot of times I personally have been kind of the odd one out in friend groups, like the one who did things a different way or just didn't have a certain interest in common. And I think that such a great practice of, you know, inner work can be also evaluating your circle, because if you're in a friend group where you feel insecure, you feel like the odd one out, or you feel as though your friends constantly put pressure on you to do a certain thing or be a certain way, then that can really influence you as well. Being around people who are like-minded and allow you to be yourself at a lot of points in our lives, especially as young adults, when we find ourselves acting a sort of way that's not really genuine to us, it's usually because of the people that we're around and not necessarily having the confidence to actually embrace being the odd one out.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like we're so similar, because I felt the same way too. Like growing up in elementary, middle school, and even high school, I never felt like I belonged in like the friend group I was in. And I didn't start finding friends who were like me until I gone into university and went into nursing. And then, you know, I have like one friend from high school still that I connected with really well. But growing up, I didn't fit in, but I was trying to be like the girls I was friends within that time. And yeah, I think like it's taught me a lot, but it also, like, looking back now, I'm like, oh, like, I wish I was more true to myself and didn't, you know, do things or have like the certain like mindsets the same as those girls, because I don't know, like it doesn't reflect me as my own self and as my character. So yeah, I think just like being true to yourself is really important, because then friends who like the same things and have the same values as you will come into your life.
Yeah, you put that really well. So in terms of your self-confidence, so I know you mentioned, you know, inner work and just kind of your journey to becoming more confident and also just kind of finding yourself more. So can you tell us a bit more about how you overcome those kind of struggles with self-confidence? Especially, I think as women, we can really struggle with self-confidence. There's so much pressure to look a certain way, whether it be to attract a certain partner or to be quote unquote put together. So how have you really improved your self-confidence?
Since I was little, I have been very shy. I was very shy as a kid. And since I can remember, I was a follower. I did things and liked things because my friends did. I didn't have a lot of self-confidence growing up. I started to really gain my confidence in the last few years. Like I said before, like just going into university and finding the people who are like me. So just doing a lot of self-reflection and going to therapy helped me kind of know that I am my own person and that I have my own gifts that I can share with the world. So my tips would be to, you know, journal, say affirmations to yourself, and to get out of your comfort zone. So just try new things. And when you put yourself out of your comfort zone, I feel like you can meet new people, and it helps you build character. It helps you overcome, you know, obstacles in your life. It helps you with problem solving skills. And I actually did just release an episode all about this, kind of getting out of your comfort zone and how I stay true to myself in times of change. But I think just trying new things is really important, and it can be hard. I mean, it has taken me 24 years. I'm 24. So 24 years to get to where I am today, and I still feel like a failure at times. But I just try to remind myself of who I am at the core, and that these situations or the things that are happening that are negative in my life aren't me. And I just need to try to remember myself, like who I am at the core. I'm smart and I'm caring, and, you know, all those affirmations that you say to yourself and that you love about yourself. Just keep reminding yourself of who you are, because there is a lot of negativity in the world. And even if that comes your way, just trying to like push through it and just remembering all these things about you that you love is really important.
You phrased that so well. I think a lot of us need to remind ourselves who we are, as opposed to constantly looking to other people to define us. You know, you'll get into an argument with someone and they'll say that you're selfish out of anger, and then you'll carry that with you throughout the rest of the day when you know that you're a giving person, you know that you're kind. So they can give us feedback or critical feedback, but at the end of the day, reminding yourself who you are and also focusing on those inner qualities. I like that you emphasize that as well. I think that in this day and age, it's really hard to feel confident unless, you know, you feel like you're a 10 out of 10, unless you get that 400 likes on Instagram. But it's like, in reality, those things don't matter at all. Focusing on who you are inside and really looking at yourself and saying, what are the qualities that my friends love about me? What are the qualities that I love about me? What are the kind things that people always say about me? And what impact do I actually have on the world?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it is easy to think of the negative things. I don't know why our brains do this, but it's just like, if one person says something, you just feel like such a horrible, awful person. Okay, maybe this situation, like, you were in the wrong, but it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means maybe the situation wasn't necessarily positive. But yeah, I think we tend to focus on the negatives, which is really sad. And I try to take the positives and remind myself of who I am at the core, like I mentioned before.
Which is so important. So I know we discussed earlier, you know, a bit of self-care. So, you know, you setting boundaries, especially protecting your emotional well-being. but what are some other acts of self-love and self-care that you show yourself?
Yeah, I guess there's so many things. So setting boundaries, I do my skincare routine all the time just because I feel good when I do it. And I like, it just like calms me down. I also journal, I write affirmations. I also like to read. It just, I can kind of go into like a different world. And I don't know, I just really enjoy reading. And I just started reading again. So doing that is like a form of self-care just because you're with yourself and you're kind of like in, it's kind of like watching a movie, but without the screen. So you kind of can go into like different worlds. It also makes you think. Like, I feel like reading books, like you can see different situations that play out and it can make you think. So I like reading. Yoga or like other movements. I feel like movement is a very like broad thing. So whether that's going to the gym or going for a run or a walk or even just like cleaning around your house is movement. So just kind of moving your body. And I feel like your endorphins can make you more in a positive mood. And just by, you know, getting things done off your checklist, I go and see my friends who I know are positive and like uplifting. So that's like a form of self-care, is like having those friendships and those relationships, going to see my family, things like that.
So thank you so much for sharing those self-care tips. I think especially for me, I'm the type of person who maybe I should go ahead and listen to that all or nothing episode because self-care to me sometimes is a shopping spree or going and kind of splurging on candles or something. So a lot of us view self-care more so as what we can get for ourselves, how we can spoil ourselves. Like you said, those everyday simple tips that can be a lot more beneficial than just kind of material things or things that might not necessarily address really caring for yourself and making yourself feel valued.
And yeah, and like, I think it's okay to like splurge sometimes. Like what I said before, like I definitely splurge on like more skincare things and a yoga membership. But I feel like that kind of like helps in the long run, because I feel like a yoga membership has so many benefits, right? Like it helps your mental health, your physical health, your emotional health, like all these things. And for me, like I enjoy skincare just because I feel like it makes my skin look good outside, which like isn't the main part, but also like just the act of doing my skincare routine is really calming for me. It helps with my mental health and kind of like gets me ready for bed, so my sleep is improved and things like that. So just all these aspects of health, because health is like a very broad term. Health and wellness can be so many things: emotional, spiritual, physical, everything that we mentioned in this episode.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned that it can be, it doesn't have to be just physical, it can be emotional and spiritual as well. Just kind of different ways of taking care of yourself as a whole. Yeah. So finally, I kind of want to discuss more so the body positive movement. This came to mind because I think that nowadays there's been more of a movement online, especially trying to, I guess, promote, you know, different sizes. When it relates to beauty standards, do you feel like the body positive movement has done anything substantial to kind of challenge these standards of beauty?
Yeah, so I like the body positive movement. I mean, I have definitely fluctuated weight a lot. I feel a lot happier and mentally healthier now at a size 8 than I was at a size 2. And, you know, I have cellulite and I move my body and I eat nutritious food, but I also love potato chips and pizza. So I think healthy and happy looks different on everyone, and you don't know what people are going through, you know, what their lifestyle is like. So I think it is empowering that people are being vulnerable and loving themselves no matter what society thinks, and, you know, like posting about who they are and what their body looks like at that moment. Because at least for me, like I have fluctuated weight a lot. Your body changes all the time, and like especially as a woman, I know one of my friends has a daughter, and going through like pregnancy like changes your body a lot, and it can be really like hard on women. And you know, I've never had a pregnancy, but I can just see from like my friends and other people that it can be hard because, you know, your body changes so much. So I think just remembering that our bodies do so much for us and that it can look different all the time. I think it is empowering that people are vulnerable and post about, you know, how they feel about their body and embracing like all that it is.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like as someone who, you know, fluctuates weight as well, it can be, you know, daunting sometimes to kind of look back at old photos of yourself and things like this, because you're kind of viewing yourself only in terms of how you look. And, you know, that body positive movement, I think, is something that has, with everything, it has, you know, positives and negatives. I think that sometimes, in my opinion, I feel like there's been a rise in kind of dramatization of just certain features. So, for example, you'll scroll on, you know, Twitter, and a woman will just kind of post a photo in a bathing suit and she has stretch marks or cellulite, and then people will automatically just comment on it and be like, oh my God, you're so brave. I could never do that. And it's just kind of like become very normal for people to see stuff like that as like some act of defying the status quo or just something like that, when people are literally just, you know, being themselves. It doesn't necessarily have to be pointed out every single time. And but as you said, I think that it definitely does challenge the standards of beauty in ways of saying, you know, you can look at someone and assume that they're a certain size, but they could be smaller, they could be bigger. You can't necessarily judge people and their general health just based on how they present, and kind of normalizing a lot of those things that we, you know, shy away from. I know even some people, I see TikToks or videos of pregnant women who are so scared of having stretch marks. But it's like, if you think about it, if there's any point in your life that you'd probably have stretch marks, it would probably be when your stomach is literally stretching to have a human being in it. Like, it should be fine. But I think a lot of us have so much fear in just not being perceived as perfect, or fear of not being the beauty standard. Everybody wants to be the person who gets approached by the guy first in the friend group. There's a lot of emphasis on those kind of superficial measures of beauty as opposed to how you actually feel about yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So for the last kind of point in the episode, I really wanted to, you know, highlight your podcast and any upcoming work that you might have. And then I also ask guests to leave us with a quote or a thought that really kind of inspires you and that you'd like to end on.
Okay. So I guess like where you can find me is my podcast. So you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. So it's just Simply Self Love Podcast. I also have an Instagram page for my podcast. So at Simply Self Love Podcast on Instagram. You can also follow my personal Instagram page if you would like. It's just at Sarah Kaitlin. So S-A-R-K-A-I-T-L-I-N. And like some, I guess, resources that I have is, depending where you live, there might be like a mental health organization or programs that you can join, like either an independent or like as a group. So I would just like search on Google for organizations around where you live. I also really like therapy. So I use apps like Headspace, Bloom, Calm, and then I also have a therapist as well. So kind of just doing your own research on what's around you. But you can also use these apps. I also really like to listen to other podcasts about health and wellness. So some of my favorites are The Wellness Cafe, A Better You, 80-20 Healthy But Human, Morning Ray, Hot Girl Energy, and Not Your Typical. And then, of course, my podcast and this one you're listening to right now. So yeah, those are kind of just like what I recommend doing if you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more. So I guess like the quote I have, oh boy, I guess it's just be kind to yourself and embrace everything that you are. I feel like that's just short and simple, but I think it's really powerful.
Yeah, thank you so much for that quote. And of course, I'll have all the links to Sarah's podcast so you can check it out in the episode notes, and also her social media as well, so you can give her a follow. Thanks again for being on my podcast, Sarah. You shared a lot, whether it be about your kind of personal experience with confidence and also some tips for people who are trying to show ourselves more self-love, because that's one of the best ways to take care of yourself, of course. So thanks again for being on my podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was very just a touching conversation, and I'm happy we did this today.
And thank you for all the listeners for tuning in. As always, much appreciated for you to go ahead and follow the podcast Instagram, which you can find in the episode notes. And until next time, sincerely, Jada.